And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, I'm going to talk about something that you probably have in your investment portfolio that I don't have in my portfolio. You want to know what that is? I don't have stocks, and more importantly, I don't have mutual funds in my portfolio. And the reason I don't have those things in my portfolio is because I learned a while back that those things would take me a very, very long time to achieve retirement with. What am I getting at? I'm getting at the fact that I did some research recently, and that research returned to me that if you are investing in mutual funds, the average mutual fund returned about 11.22% return on investment year over year over the last 5 years. Now, why do I bring that up? Because at Lifestyles Unlimited, what we are designed to do is we are designed to put you on a glide path to getting yourself to a place of retirement in 5 years or less. Now, how do we do it at Lifestyles Unlimited? We do it by buying residential income producing properties, either single family assets or multifamily assets. But the key thing is this: they are real estate assets. They're not REITs, they're not mutual funds, they're none of that stuff, nothing with a stock component to them. Everything that we put into our portfolio is real estate, and it's a hard asset. It's not a soft asset like your mutual funds. Now, why do I call them a soft asset? The reason I call them a soft asset is you can't really just go out and touch the asset, can you? See, with the real estate assets that I own, I can actually go to where those real estate assets exist, and I can touch those assets. So they're hard assets to me. They're not soft assets like mutual funds. If you're trying to get yourself retired and you're trying to do it in the next 5 years, you're going to have a very difficult time getting yourself retired in the next 5 years, making 11.22% return on investment, because you're not making a great enough return in the assets that you're investing in to where they can retire you. Real estate is a completely different animal. Real estate is designed to pay you five different ways, technically six different ways if we're doing multifamily real estate. And the returns on real estate tend to be much greater than they are in the mutual fund market. So you went to a financial planner, and that financial planner suggested that maybe you invest in a mutual fund, that mutual fund might be designed to help you in a certain way. Now, a mutual fund is a managed investment vehicle that pools money from multiple investors, not just from you, but from multiple investors, to invest in a diversified portfolio of securities. And in that portfolio, you could have stocks, you could have bonds, you could have money market instruments, or some other type of asset. And investors in mutual funds buy shares, and then the fund's value is determined by the performance of the underlying securities that it holds. Yeah, it's kind of complicated, isn't it? Now, mutual funds are managed by portfolio managers or management teams who make investment decisions on behalf of the investors. In other words, nobody's going to pick up the phone and call you and get your input on whether you think this is a good investment vehicle or not. You have a portfolio manager or a management team who makes the investment decisions on your behalf. So one of the things that your financial planner did with you is they sat you down and they want to know what your risk profile is. Yeah, your risk profile. So in other words, they're wondering how much risk you're willing to take on different types of investments. And if you're like most people investing in mutual funds, you want the safest investment you can have while still getting some reasonable rate of return. So these mutual funds have a tendency to produce, on average, over the last 5 years, about 11.22% rate of return in that mutual fund. Now, that mutual fund is not protected against taxation really in any way, unless, of course, you have it in some type of investment vehicle that the government tells you you can avoid taxes with. But once you put your money into those types of vehicles, you really can't take it out without paying the taxes and without paying a penalty, because that's the penalty phase that the government puts on you. It's really designed to keep you from touching your money. That's really what it's all about, because the government thinks that they know better than you do when it comes to investing. And therefore, they've made these plans available to you. They've made the 401k available. They've made the IRA available. They allow you to buy mutual funds as the vehicle to sit inside of those vehicles. And they want you on cruise control for the next 30, 40, possibly 50 years, building up a big bag of money, and hopefully sometime in your future, you'll retire living off of that big bag of money, and you put your hands together and you'll pray that you die before that bag of money runs out. So what fund are you in, or what combination of funds are you in? Do you even know? Do you even care? Do you just put the money into that account, let that fund manager do whatever the fund manager is going to do, buy whatever shares they're going to buy to put into that fund, sell whatever shares they're going to sell to take out of that fund, and that'll keep you cruising along at maybe an 11.22% rate of return, right? Okay, there are some funds that are doing better than 11.22%, and the one that I came up with that's doing the best of them all is something called the Barron Durable Advantage Retail Fund. The five-year return on that fund is 19.04% return on investment year over year over the past 5 years. I think that's pretty good. Are you in that particular fund? Chances are you're not. Okay, well, what about this one? There's the Amana Growth Investor. That one's got a five-year return of 17.62% year over year for the past 5 years. Are you in the Amana Growth Investor Fund? You're not in that fund. Or you're, again, you don't even know what fund you're in, right? Okay, granted, some of you know. I get that. But others of you, you don't even know what the fund is called. If you knew the name of the fund, I mean, you could go to a financial paper and you could look it up, but you don't even know the name of the fund. So why go there, right? Right? Why go look it up? Besides, you could look it up on your computer if you knew the name, right? Or you could check your investment paperwork that your mutual fund provider sends to you monthly or quarterly or every year, and that would tell you what fund you're in. Well, maybe you're in the AB Large Cap Growth Advisor Fund, and that one returned 17% year over year for the past 5 years. Okay, so those are three that are doing pretty well. If you're in those funds, chances are you're doing better than most other people that are in mutual funds. But there are some mutual funds out there that aren't doing so well. They're doing actually pretty poorly. There's the RIDEX Inverse NASDAQ 100 2X Strategy C Fund. You know what it returned? A negative 45.74% year over year. Yeah, a negative 45.74%. Then there's the ProFunds Ultra Short NASDAQ 100 SVC Fund, which returned a negative 45.67% year over year. Again, a negative 45.67%. Now, there's another one out there that's not doing so well, and it's called the Ultra Short Japan ProFunds Investor Class Fund, and it returned a negative 36.68%. So why am I bringing up all these mutual funds and giving you the rates of return that these things are returning? Because you could be in a mutual fund that is either outperforming what mutual funds do, like some of them that I outlined to you earlier in the show, or you could be in a mutual fund that is underperforming the market, like the ones I just listed to you a moment ago. Where do you sit? Where do you stand? And my research says that the average mutual fund is returning about 11.22% year over year. Can you retire yourself on 11.22% year over year? And the short answer is, yeah, there's some math out there that supports that you could retire yourself on that 11.22%, but you're going to need at least 40 years to get it done. And you're going to have to be injecting a lot of money into those mutual funds because you're going to have to ramp up the amount of money you're saving. Yeah, you heard me correctly. The amount of money you're saving, because you have to have a lot of money saved in order to earn that 11.22%. Now, in comparison to real estate, there is a real estate asset that came across my desk over the weekend, and this is nothing special. This particular piece of real estate isn't the nicest piece of real estate on the market. It's not the worst piece of real estate on the market, but it's definitely not the nicest piece of real estate on the market. And this is what this piece of real estate can do for me as a real estate investor. It can give me a 17.2% cash on cash return. Now, some of you are going, well, Al, you pointed out there were two mutual funds that are giving you a better rate of return than 17.2%. Yes, there are two that were providing a better than 17.2% rate of return. But keep in mind, when I'm investing in real estate, I'm making money five different ways. In that mutual fund, you're making money one particular way, if it goes up or if it goes down. Remember, it's a mutual fund. So that mutual fund trades within the marketplace, and you have a value per share of that mutual fund, right? And that mutual fund is assigned a dollar amount. It has a value to it. And then, of course, you have whatever your amount of shares are that you multiply by that dollar amount, right? Okay, and that gives you a rate of return. That's the one way you either make money or lose money in a mutual fund. But in real estate, we make money based on the cash flow. We make money based on the equity capture. We make money based on the principal pay down. We make money based off the fact that there's something called natural appreciation that affects our real estate holdings. And then there is a way that we technically make money that has to do with all the tax benefits that we receive as real estate investors, because it protects those other four ways. It's a fifth way that protects the other four ways we make money in real estate. So when I take a look at a five-year return of a piece of real estate that's producing approximately 17.2% return on investment just on the cash flow, when I take a look at the return on investment over 5 years of time based off of the five different ways I make money in real estate, this asset's going to return 285% return on investment to me. 285% return on investment. That is a much better return than what you're getting in the stock market. And I don't care what mutual fund you're actually invested in. I don't know of any mutual funds out there that are returning a 285% return on investment over a five-year period of time. Now, I pointed out the one that I thought was doing the best. I mean, I did the homework, and it turns out to be, at least based off of my research, the best performing United States equity mutual fund turned out to be Barron Durable Advantage Retail, and it was only returning a 19.4% return over a five-year period. And even if it returned 19.04% each year of those 5 years, it still doesn't work out to be that bigger number that I'm talking about, that 285% return on investment. So what we're going to do for the rest of the show is I'm going to break down this real estate investment opportunity that showed up in my inbox. We're going to talk it through, and you're going to learn how to make 285%. Stick around.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Del Walmsley interviews Chad and Lisa.
This property, for you to have done what you've done, won the award, changed it around, done all the rehab, has got to be worth a lot more.
Well, we purchased it for $8.275, and it's worth $19 million now.
Wait, whoa. That is incredible. I can see why you won an award, and that's great.
Lifestyles Unlimited, over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Go to GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Enter code 2024.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I am working on your financial freedom. And I'm doing so today by trying to wrap your head around the concept that what you're doing for retirement, it's either working or it's not. Simply put, what you're doing to build wealth for yourself and your family, it's either working or it's not. What can you do with residential income producing in a five-year period of time? Can you double your money? Well, based off of the research that I did concerning an asset that showed up in my inbox over the weekend, the short answer is yes. Yes, you can double your money. Now, the question you might have is when? When do I double my money? When do I get to a place where I'm actually doubling my money? Well, about the second year. At the end of year two, based off of the information that I have regarding this asset, you will double your money. You'll get to 129% return on investment at the end of year two. This particular asset is going to take a little over $20,000 for you to buy. That's your cash out of pocket contribution to buy the asset. Now, the asset can be bought for $62,000. This thing's in pretty bad shape, and it's going to take about $64,000 worth of renovations in order to breathe new life back into this property. Now, the property, when it's all fixed up, has an after repair value of $160,000. Pretty cool stuff, right? Now, it's going to take about $64,000 to do that rehab. But if you know what you're doing, if you've been educated on how to do the rehab process correctly, what this property is positioning you to do is to double your money in a two-year period of time. It's not even going to take 2 years for you to double your money. At the end of year two, your net total return should work out to be about $26,473. Yeah, $26,473. And that is based off of the different ways that we make money in real estate. There's the cash flow that is produced by this property. And the cash flow on this property is right up at 17.2%. So it's not doing quite as good as only two of the mutual funds that are out there, but it is performing better than all the rest of the mutual funds that are out there. So, and that's just one way we make money in real estate. We make money based off of the equity capture, which is the difference between our all-in cost and what the value is of the asset when it's all fixed up. My numbers are telling me that we should be getting about, let's see, what am I saying? Oh, there it is, $24,250 in equity captured. So in other words, the asset, when it's all fixed up, is worth $160,000. Our all-in cost is $135,750. So in other words, that is our all-in cost between the actual money that we're putting into the deal of $20,500 and the equity participation of the loans that we're putting on the property. Our all-in cost is $135,750. When you subtract that from $160,000, which is the after repair value of the asset, we are capturing equity, in other words, additional equity in the property that we're not paying for, but we're getting the benefit of $24,250. We're getting, now get this, we're getting a return on the capital gains of 118%. Yeah, because we're only putting $20,500 into the deal, but we're capturing an additional $24,250 in equity, which gives us a combined equity of $44,750. That's all equity that goes on our balance sheet. When's the last time you invested $20,500 and made instantly $24,250 off of the purchase? The cash flow on this asset works out to be $3,528 per year. That's the annualized rate. And then when you divide that by the $20,500 of your own money that you're putting into this deal, you're getting a 17.2% return on investment just for that particular phase of money making that I'm talking about, just the cash on cash return. Now, when it comes to the capital gain, remember I said you're putting $20,500 of your own money into the asset, but you're capturing $24,250 in additional equity. That gives you a 118% return on investment just based off of the capital gain. That's just two ways we make money in real estate. Now, some of the other ways we make money in real estate, one of them has to do with something that we call appreciation. And it's not just any kind of appreciation. It's just the natural appreciation that occurs in the real estate markets. Did you know that real estate tends to double in value every 20 years? Depending on where you are in the United States, it's a little bit faster than that, or it's a little bit slower than that. But the sweet spot seems to be about 20 years. So what does that mean? How do you determine the value going up? Well, if you take an increase of about 3.5% per year and you analyze that based on your natural appreciation, your property is going to go up about 3.5% per year. So that means that the value of the property, our $160,000 property, should be worth $165,600 at the end of year one. That works out to be a 3.5% increase in value. At the end of year two, it should go up to about $171,400. At the end of year three, it should go up to about $177,400. At the end of year four, it should be up to $183,600. And at the end of year five, it should be up to about $190,000. So essentially, this property has gone up $30,000 over a five-year period of time, just based off the fact that there's something called natural appreciation that occurs. It's giving you an additional $30,000 in equity in this asset, and you didn't have to do anything in order to achieve it. Pretty cool stuff, right? All right. Another way we make money in real estate has to do with something that we call principal paydown. What is principal paydown? Okay. Principal paydown is a functionality of the fact that you are buying an asset and you are leveraging the asset. So as a Lifestyles Unlimited member, what you're going to learn is you're going to put long-term financing on the property. You're going to put a 30-year note, fixed rate note, on that property. And it's going to work out to be about 75% loan to value. So of that $160,000 price, you're going to put a 75% loan on it. So you're going to put a conventional loan of about $120,000 on that property. And because you're making payments on that loan every month your resident's going to pay you rent, and you're going to turn around, you're going to make the associated payments on all of your expenses, which are your principal and interest payments for your mortgage, your taxes, and your insurance. Okay. And that's going to work out to be about, well, on the principal and interest side, that's going to work out to be whatever the principal and interest payment turns out to be. But what I did was I did an analysis and I said, of that payment, part of that payment goes to interest, which is a business write-off. I can write off the interest that I'm paying on the loan. But part of that payment goes to principal. I cannot write off the principal, but what the principal does is it reduces the amount that I owe on the note every year. So in the first year, I'm going to have principal pay down of approximately $1,074. That's how much the loan is going to pay down in the first year. So the loan balance at the end of the first year is going to work out to be about $118,900. In the second year, that principal is going to pay down about $1,160, and it's going to reduce my loan balance to about $117,770. In the third year, the principal is going to pay down $1,250, which is going to leave my loan balance at $116,500 approximately. At the end of year four, my principal pay down amount is going to be $1,350. That's going to reduce my loan balance to about $115,000. And at the end of year five, my principal pay down will have grown to about $1,457. And the loan balance that I will have remaining on that property will have been reduced from $120,000 down to and $13,000. So effectively, over a five-year period of time, just by making those principal payments, my loan balance has reduced by $7,000. That gives me an additional $7,000 worth of equity in the asset. The final way that we make money in real estate is something that the IRS does for us. Yeah, it's not something that we do for ourselves. It's something that's been baked into Internal Revenue Service code. And that is something called depreciation. When you own residential income producing assets, the IRS wants you to depreciate those assets. So what they're going to do is they're going to tell you to take a look at what the value is of the asset. The value of my asset works out to be $160,000. But then what they're going to do is they're going to tell you to break that $160,000 into two numbers. So what I did was I said, okay, 20% of that number, or $40,000, works out to be a land value. You're not allowed to take depreciation on land because land doesn't wear out. But the rest of the property, all the improvements that have been made upon that property, those tend to wear out over time. So the IRS says you take that value, which works out to be about $120,000, and you divide it by 27 and a half years. And what that gives you is it gives you an annual depreciation write-off that you take on the property. I'm not saying that the property wore out like in year one. That's not the case. But what you're allowed to do is factor in the potential reduction in the value of the components of the asset over time. And that's what depreciation allows for. So what does that number work out to be? Well, the depreciation write-off that I'm allowed to take on this property is $4,655, but I'm only making $3,528 in cash flow. What that means is that all of the cash flow that I earn on this property, it doesn't cost me anything. There is no taxation on the income streams on this property because the depreciation has, well, essentially wrote off all of the income. And I still have $1,127 left that I can use as depreciation write-offs against another asset or another form of income in accordance with what the IRS allows. So when I take all these five different ways we make money in real estate and I factor them all together, I work out a number of 285% return on investment over a five-year period based on the five different ways we make money in real estate. If you want to make money the way I'm making money, you want to make money the way 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are making money, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, sign up for a free workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.